another year since we met. Today on Podcast Magoria. Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria. My name is James.
And I'm Autumn.
And today, as per tradition, oh man, we got a lot of those. we are going to be doing our 2024 year in review a little later than usual, but that's because 2024 still haunts us.
Yeah.
Just the bearing it just, down it, the weight.
It will not let us go. But hopefully from here on out, we will be on schedule. On time,
yeah,
and you can expect us every couple of weeks again.
Every so often, like a rash, we will pop up, and you'll be very itchy.
We'll at least be better about telling y'all when we're going to be gone for a minute.
There you go.
Or when we're not going to have our episodes out.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is 2024 was another enormous year for horror.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, I mean, ranging from films, TV shows, video games, other media as a whole, like,
yeah.
it feels like we truly are, and I've been saying this almost every year now, that we might be in golden age of horror.
Oh, yeah.
With the explosion of A24 becoming more and more prevalent,
mm-hmm.
A lot of other studios coming out from the inky depths. And picking up where some other studios have kind of fallen off. It's been a big deal.
Yeah. And I just feel like horror is a little more accepted of a genre these days, yeah. Too.
Yeah. As we mentioned in the holiday gift episode, the last time you visited us, if you don't count the Christmas horror story, you know, we had brought up the fact that you can find a lot of merchandise
mm-hmm.
for a lot of horror properties.
For all sorts of ages, too,
yeah,
which is just insane.
That's just, it's a lot. It's a lot all around. And so I didn't think that a year in review episode would be so nebulous, you know, because it's just us talking about what we do. And
yeah.
Then sprinkle in a little bit of what exciting things happened in 2024 that maybe we didn't get to experience. And this time around, it's like, well, geez, how do I even pick what all there was? And so it's a tall order. And obviously, it would be a 5-hour episode if we tried to cover everything. So I want to just kind of skim through the things we saw and experienced, things we didn't see and experience but are super exciting, show related, maybe not show related, we'll see. So let's talk about movies. Oscars are just around the corner, and they've announced, you know, all the nominees, and so what better way to start our movie discussion?
Did any horror make it to the Oscars this year?
Hell yeah, it did.
What?
Yeah, The Substance.
Yes, yes. Of course it would, because the story alone is telling such it's a good commentary on the society of Hollywood and whatnot, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of different facets. I mean, we're speaking as if we have watched the movie.
But you know enough about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks to social media, things like TikTok, back from the grave, it's hard these days to be online at all and not be just swamped with spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause some stuff will be disguised as if it's not going to be about something. And then, whoops, there's a screenshot of the big moment.
I feel like, though, for The Substance, people left enough out that when we do finally get our hands on it and watch it, because, my God, I want to watch it. I just have had a million other things going on. There's enough in it that I don't know exactly what's going on.
Yes.
So I don't think social media has ruined this movie for me yet. And I still want to see it so bad. Body horror. Of course I want to see it.
And it's been a while since horror has been recognized by the Academy in so many categories, because it kind of it pops up in a few. And I mean, for it to be up there for Best Picture is a pretty big deal. Now, if it wins,
that would be insane.
Well, it'd be the last time there was a winning horror movie would be Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
At some point in time, we'll have to go back and revisit body horror and maybe do a episode for The Substance. I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah.
The next one up that we didn't really talk about, and it almost made last year's A to Z, was Lisa Frankenstein.
Another movie on our list that it pushed the boundaries of horror.
Yes.
For sure. Because it's another one of those little cutesy, like, romance horrors. And when I first heard about this, I wasn't 100% behind it.
Sure.
Because not into romance stuff. But then I saw enough about it that I was like, wait a second, it looks funny.
Yeah. Lisa Frankenstein was kind of, it was a hard one to know how I felt about it before I watched it. And then like 3 minutes into the movie, I'm like, oh man, I love this.
Yeah.
But it's a thing where, like, so nostalgia horror has become kind of a big deal. You know, I would say over the past, like, almost 10 years, Hollywood's been leaning heavier and heavier and heavier into horror movies that take place usually in the 80s or the early 90s. And though great, because, you know, that's when we grew up. But it's like, I don't know how I feel about it because it feels like it might be a crutch. And so having that in mind going into Lisa Frankenstein, I was like, oh man, like, I don't know if this is going to be, you know, really good or all. Because it's always weird seeing like young people trying to be from a time, like using lingo. And it's just like, because it's not quite it's not a period piece.
So. By the way, the Cole Sprouse is like almost my age, so.
Well, he doesn't talk. but yeah, like, it's just, it's always kind of weird. And now I understand how people, you know, of a certain age group felt, you know, whenever we were doing 60s and 70s nostalgia films during the 90s.
And, oh, yeah.
And before that, it was, you know, 50s and 40s. And it's always like a 20 to 30 year gap where it's always we're going to always look back in a way. And so it's kind of strange to now be in a time that nostalgia is within our lifetime and seeing it portrayed in I mean, fairly accurate ways. There's a lot of times where I go, oh, that song didn't play at this time. You know, oh, that music's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or that movie didn't come out this year. You know, like, how do they possibly have a poster for Goonies when...
it would come out 5 years later.
Yeah. It's always that, you know, and Stranger Things is, I think, the ultimate example.
They claim that they do all this research and blah, blah, blah. But there's some things and some things scenes out, that you're like, no, that wasn't around yet.
Yeah. Because so it gets a little tricky really fast. I imagine this must be how people felt about that 70s show.
Yeah.
That grew up in the 70s. It was like, what the fuck. But anyway, thank you. Bring up Cole Sprouse, does a delightful job in his performance, fantastic actor. And then Catherine Newton, I think, does a great descent into madness.
Yes.
It is really fun.
Yeah, and the costume design, and it's also actually a really beautifully filmed movie too, for it being just a silly little like comedy romp.
Yeah. Like, I think it's a fun time. It, oddly enough, had received a lot of negative press. Like, a lot of people poo-poo on this movie. I'm just like, it's okay to have fun.
Yeah, it's okay. We don't have to have everything be hopeless and bleak.
Yes.
So, especially in horror.
Yeah, like...
We can have fun.
Let us breathe every once in a while.
I think it was just a lot of... older dudes that didn't get it.
Yeah, it's probably that. Just people that just don't just don't want to have fun.
Don't want to have fun. That's right.
So I guess to kind of, there's a good segue into the next one that we didn't watch that a lot of people have told us to watch. And so we'll probably have to do that at some point in time. And that is Abigail. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Catherine Newton.
Yes. Yeah. This one, from the initial trailer, I honestly didn't think that it was going to be a horror film.
Right.
Because it just looked like a kidnapping story. And I know that it's A24, but A24 does that where they have some films that aren't horror, but yeah, they still kind of present it that way.
Yeah.
And then when I found more and more out about it, I was like, ooh, creepy kid film. Ooh.
Then that immediately made me cross my arms.
Yeah.
And go, I don't want to.
It made me interested, made James completely disinterested.
Yes.
But we definitely have got to check this out,
yeah,
at some point,
yeah.
I feel like.
I think that just about everybody that I know that's seen this movie has been like, oh my God, have you seen Abigail? And I'm like, no, I don't want to see Abigail. I may never see Abigail.
Hey, but it might be another Barbarian or Malignant situation for us where everybody's like, you are going to love it.
Yeah. And then whoops. Yeah, that's the thing is sometimes when we get recommended, I go, oh, I don't know. We've had a lot of other movies, like Barbarian, Malignant, are two examples out of dozens of movies
that people have
shined us to that I actually enjoyed. So so I'm always just a little nervous.
It's the newer films that I get nervous with.
That's
when
right.
People are like just, you know, yeah, rabid about us watching them. Mm-hmm. If it's an older film, I'm like, okay, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe it is. But the new age horror is definitely like a... Where'd you get the idea that we'd like that?
Yeah, or do you really think that this reinvented the genre? Because, I mean, it's pretty basic.
Yeah, I've read 10 other mangas that have this exact story.
Right. A huge one for us that we watched that we hadn't talked about at all. and I think might have been my favorite movie. Damn close to being my favorite movie of last year. And that is Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
we got
God.
To see this a couple of times in theaters.
Yes.
And we wanted to go see it a third time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we don't get that very often where we want to go to the theater multiple times. But this was just so fun, mm-hmm, and so worth the wait. Now, that doesn't go to say that it didn't have its problems.
Yeah.
Sure. There's a certain element in the story that could have just been taken out completely.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think it was a good sequel to, mm-hmm, the first one. Still held a lot of the same feeling of the original Beetlejuice movie.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that had to do with them using practical effects.
Yeah. I think that, honestly, turn your brain off a little bit, folks.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's. I think that the people that genuinely didn't like this movie maybe were going in with too much of a critical mind.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're watching a Tim Burton film as a whole,
yeah,
you just kind of need to take it easy.
Yeah, I know. So many people want to try to, like, do like film thesis on Tim Burton, and I honestly think a Tim Burton film isn't there necessarily for that kind of analysis. It's just for fun.
Yeah, well, and I think that the time for analyzing his films are over. Like, it's
because he has a formula now.
He has a formula. He has his standard that, mind you, has been copied by,
yeah,
many other directors as well and influenced future filmmakers and stuff. So it's this weird thing that happens, I think, with a lot of directors, not just horror, but as a whole, where if you're successful enough, you become the standard. You are no longer expected to imitate your heroes, you know,
yeah,
you, Quentin Tarantino. but there's this thing, the shift that happens where people are all of a sudden incredibly offended or don't like the fact that now that you finally made for yourself, you can stand on your own two feet, so you're going to make exactly what you want to make. Suddenly everybody's just like, oh, how dare you not be paying homage in every scene,
mm-hmm,
to your influences? How dare you be, you know, original? Goodness forbid, like, you try something unique. Now,
yeah,
Tim Burton has always been unique.
Yeah.
But I think that everybody's analyzed everything that he's ever done enough that maybe it's okay to just come in and watch a movie, a sequel that people have been begging for mm-hmm. almost 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
maybe just come in and have a good time. Is the plot bloated? Sure. But if you look at probably, I would say, 80% of Tim Burton's movies, mm-hmm. there's aspects of the plot that could easily be cut out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then he's not making a short film, is he? He's making a feature length. And so, yeah, sometimes you have to fill it with shit.
But my God, like, it's almost as if Michael Keaton did not do any other characters whatsoever in right. his whole entire film career yeah. because he stepped right back into those Beetlejuice shoes and was Beej.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, it was so fun getting to just hear the voice again hear, and see him run around. And just like the original, he's not in the movie a whole lot, but it feels like he is.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing I'd probably want to poke at with this is and this is what a lot of people have said, is that the movie feels more like an adaptation to the animated series.
Oh, yeah.
Than it is mm-hmm. a true-to-heart sequel to the original film.
Yeah, because he is a little more cartoony mm-hmm. in nature compared to the first one. And I feel like there's references to the cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. It's just he way more puns and yeah. visual gags to support the pun.
I was waiting for his foot to fall asleep and him to bring a clock out.
Yeah,
to wake it up.
Yeah, yeah. There's just a lot of stuff. I too was kind of expecting maybe some characters from the animated series to show mm-hmm. up.
Yeah, like, what's his name? The Texas Pete guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever that big fuzzy guy's name is.
I can't remember any of their names
off the top of my head right now.
But yeah, it was a fun time. I think if you've been sleeping on it, or you're not sure if you really, because legacy sequels are more often than not misses.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one's a hit. I think yeah. that it's a fun time. And, you know, again, don't go into this movie expecting Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
It's not that.
And if there's an element in there that you don't like, don't let it bog you down.
Yeah. Because there's a whole other mess of shit that's yeah. going to entertain you.
Yes.
I guess to keep on the thrill of legacy sequels, we also got Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah, which was a big surprise for me, because the first one of these, like, kind of remake sequels,
yeah,
they did an all right job with that.
Yeah.
We all know that we don't like the one Ghostbusters movie.
We don't even need to bring it up.
But so this one I was kind of wary about
sure.
going in, especially because it looked like a direct remake.
Yeah.
But it ended up being a remake, but its own story.
Yeah. I think the movie as a whole is fine. I think it's fun. When it's fun, it's fun. When it's not fun, maybe it's not so great.
There's a few areas where it drags.
It's, you know, and forgive me for not remembering every little detail, because it's been almost a full year since I've watched the movie. I remember having a good time watching it. And again, kind of like Beetlejuice, it felt more inspired by the animated series.
Oh, yeah.
Because we get a little bit more of a ghouls gallery mm-hmm. of haunts and such.
Yet again, I was waiting for the boogeyman to pop up or Samhain.
Yeah.
Somebody from the cartoon to show up. It would have been so cool and such a good homage, but I digress.
Yeah, it's...
I will say the creatures, I'm not sure who designed the creatures, but mm-hmm. they looked like they took a lot of influence from the Extreme Ghostbusters cartoon, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, oh man, and I also love the fact that they went practical with Slimer.
I know!
Which is great.
He was so cute, too!
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. Slimer's my favorite part of the Ghostbusters franchise, and the theme of this episode is, if you don't like Slimer, you don't like fun.
That's right. I also liked slightly altered Slimer's design, where he had the yellow eyes.
Yeah.
Making him more like the animated series Slimer. And so there's a lot of little things about it. I also thought that James Acaster's character mm-hmm. was a lot more similar to the cartoon Egon.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... So this movie made me excited for the prospect of there being another sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray have flat out said that, yeah, they don't expect to be a part of anything going forward.
Yeah.
Which is weird to hear Dan Aykroyd say that.
It is weird, especially because his character has a relative that's in the story now.
Yeah.
That's a main character in the stories. It'd be weird if, Uncle Ray didn't come by again.
Right.
Like...
yeah, there's a lot of factors there that I could imagine Ray being a reference character, you know, anytime they need help.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of wish, and now they're doing this year... And not to get ahead of myself too much, but this year they are doing an animated series on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much it's going to be connected to the overall mythos, if it's going to be its own thing. I think that how they've been approaching these movies is it's almost like two long pilots for an actual series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Since we got introduced to Ghostbusters Corps and now we've got all these, it's an international company.
Mm-hmm.
So they are fighting ghosts, ghouls and whatnots all around the globe, and so to not have like not to utilize that is kind of weird. But I would love to see just movies that maybe don't take place even within the core Ghostbusters, if we just were stories about
I want to see some rule like mm-hmm. like the first of these Ghostbusters movies where they were kind of in the rural area.
Yeah.
I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
I don't want any more like thinking about the insurance policies of these people in New York that are
yes, yeah.
having to fight ghosts.
I would like to have a little bit more of a very personal claustrophobic story where I don't want any more Marvel or DC sky portal world ending events.
Yeah.
Like, because Ghostbusters, I think, has already overdone it. Because it's been literally every movie has been that.
Yeah.
Where
it's like, why is anybody freaking out about this anymore? They'll save us.
So that's kind of a big, I just wish I just want to see people bust ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And even this movie, I feel like it didn't have enough of the ghost busting. It had mm-hmm. more than Afterlife, but it still wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I kind of wish I could have just saw the new core group figuring it out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we don't necessarily need cameos from any of the original cast, but it's just, ah. all right, let's change gears and go with something a little more different. And this is a movie that I actually forgot came out in 2024 because it was right in the beginning of the year. And that is Destroy All Neighbors. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I had completely forgotten about this one until you put it on the list. and I'm so sorry to Alex Winter for that because I love that man.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, yeah. That is a movie that came out.
I think that, you know, this is the problem with kind of the day and age we live in with a million streaming services and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Is I think that this movie at its core is a VHS rental cult classic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's what it right out of the gate, it's what it feels like. It's a movie that you and your friends accidentally discover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got
fun.
A cool VHS cover. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my God, the guy from Bill and Ted's in it. Let's
right.
check it out.
Right. This movie is chock full of practical effects. Alex Winter's performance is bizarre,
mm-hmm.
but in all the right ways. I love it whenever he gets to be in a movie and just kind of go batshit crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And he is batshit crazy in this movie. Everybody does a great job in it. Jonah Ray is the lead, and I think he does a fine job. There's a lot of really good music in it. The movie never, ever went in a direction that I expected. I kind of was just caught off guard regularly. Yeah, if you're a fan of another Alex Winter classic, Freaked,
mm-hmm.
I think that you'll be entertained because this feels like it's in that same kind of universe. But yeah, I just needed to talk about that. I had to bring it up because I think that after it premiered, it kind of fell off the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a sleeper. I think you guys ought to check it out. Well, let's dig into some sequels. Probably the biggest sequel, I would say, for for you real core gore fans out there, would be Terrifier 3.
Boy, was it weird watching this in October.
Yes.
But it was, I felt like it was a really good way to start off the holiday season.
Oh my gosh.
Now, this is going to be a movie that's put on every Christmas.
Yeah. It's always crazy because, like, Terrifier 2, I was like, good Lord, they amped it up. Mm-hmm. How could they possibly amp it up more? And then Terrifier 3 comes and goes, no, you haven't. You sit there and you watch.
Yeah.
This is going to be, you're not ready for this.
Yeah, and I love the advertisement for the Terrifier 3 series because it's always, oh my God, they put a scene in there that made people throw up.
Yeah.
And, oh, you're going to be so sick to your stomach seeing this. And then, as a gore fan, you go in and you're like, oh, really? This is what?
Yeah.
But this one was, people were leaving like 10 minutes into the film. Mm-hmm. Everybody was leaving the theater in droves. There's a lot of kid death in this one, is what it is. And a kid dies within the first 10 minutes. So just to spoil that for you.
Sorry, if you haven't heard yet. this movie, I would say, it crosses lines that would even have Trauma going, hey, do you think this might be a little bit too much?
Trauma, who has killed a lot of kids.
Yeah. But this one... There were, I would say, at least 2 to 3 scenes where I was just like, I could see why people might say this is a line.
Yeah,
and where even I, like, because I look, like, I'm like, there's no limits often.
Yeah.
There's a handful of limits. There's a handful of gratuitous things. I'm like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
But there's not many for me where I'm like, throw it in there. Go nuts. Kill the dog. Mm-hmm. I don't care. And this one was just like, yikes, like, this might be too much.
There was actually a scene in it that I was like, oh, is making me feel a little something.
Yeah. It almost made me feel again.
Which is saying a lot for me with horror. So definitely I was very happy with this sequel.
Yeah.
And I absolutely cannot wait for the next one.
Yeah, I am so excited for the next one. I can't wait to see what the hell they do. How can they possibly top it?
Exactly. The freaking mall scene. How are they going to top that?
Yeah.
That was my absolute favorite part of the movie.
Which is great because that's definitely, I think, where the hard line was crossed.
Yeah. But it was just so funny and magical, too.
Yeah. Another huge sequel that came out for horror last year was Smile 2.
Yes.
A movie that we have not watched, so we can't really go into too much detail. Plus, if we had watched it, I wouldn't go into a whole lot of detail, though. I want to say that it was like maybe 3 days after the movie came out, and I already saw the big end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They did not waste any time spoiling this one
and it wasn't
on
even
social
just,
media.
Yeah. The thing that makes me the craziest about that was it wasn't even just like fans of the movie. It was the actual like promotional like pages for the film, which is like, hey, here's how we made the monster. It's like, I don't want to see that. Like,
yeah.
Save that shit for the fucking special features on the Blu-ray, guys. Like,
don't show that.
Your movie is still, it's still opening weekend, and you're showing us all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Calm down. Somebody messed up.
No, they wanted to jump the gun because they knew people would be going ahead and posting about it.
I guess. I hate that.
But what's really cool about this is, and I didn't know until recently, is that Jack Nicholson's son is in it.
Yeah.
And he's the creepy guy.
Yeah. That freaking smile. Well, we know at least that gene passed on.
Yes, it did. Because it was so funny, too, once I figured it out. I was like, oh, my God, he looks almost exactly like him. Like, how did I not make that connection?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Well, it's kind of like Dennis Quaid's son, Jack Quaid.
Right,
It's just like, first of all, Jack Quaid, duh. But it's like it's something where, like, literally I didn't even put two and two together until a few months ago. I'm like, God, what the hell's wrong with me? How did I not realize that? Another one that came out last year that we have not watched that I don't know if I want to categorize it as a sequel or a prequel. And that is Alien Romulus. That movie came out swinging. People were going batshit crazy for it. And then as soon as it was out, nobody talked about it.
Yeah, it's really weird how the hype died so fast. But I'm really sad we didn't go and see this in theaters because I wanted to so bad.
Yeah, that it got away from us really quick.
It seems like it didn't stay in theaters very long.
No, so these are all marks of me going, uh-oh. People stopped talking about it as soon as it came out, and it left theater. It feels like it left theaters almost immediately. That's not a good sign.
Mm.
I do know a little bit of why people didn't like it.
Ooh.
But apparently, the weirdest part about it is it's a visual effect for somebody that shows up in the movie. I'm not going to say who.
I know who, because that got spoiled for me.
And apparently they fixed the graphics or the deep fake.
Well, guess what? They had to do that on the original movie too with this character.
Yeah. So
so that character's had a lot of really bad practical effects, CGI. Like, there's just no winning with that character.
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep trying to do anything with it.
I think they just need to leave cats out of the Alien series.
Cats don't like to be around all those prosthetics.
That's right.
And all that white liquid. I don't know what's going on.
But so I think that might have played into it. I do still really, really, really want to watch that movie, especially because of that character showing up. I'm like, how the fuck did we get?
Yeah, exactly.
How does this possibly work?
Yeah,
I've
been trying to figure it out myself.
Because I'm like, this doesn't, it just flat out doesn't make sense to me. But
they gotta have
misremembering the old movies.
Yeah,
but
exactly. They gotta have a good excuse.
Yeah. So I don't know. Let us know if you guys watch Alien Romulus and if it is actually worth watching. Another movie that came out that has been a big deal, and I'm not gonna go into too much detail about. I just have a question, and then we'll leave it at that. And that is the movie Nosferatu came out finally from the great director Robert Eggers. And all I have to ask is this 2-part question. On a scale of 1 to 10,
all right,
how stinky is that mustache?
Oh, are these questions to me or the audience?
It's up for you to decide.
Okay. Well, what's the second part of the question?
Follow up. Would you still smash?
Okay. So, we still haven't seen this.
Yeah.
But from everything I've seen on social media, there's one scene that I've seen that I'm like, I don't know. This might be one that I don't know.
You're going to leave him behind, huh?
Because he don't got a booty. He has skipped leg day from what I've seen.
Squats, all of it.
And torso up looks good.
Yeah.
Stinky mustache for sure.
Sure.
On a scale of 1 to 10, that is a very stinky 11 mustache. But would I still smash? Torso up, yes. Bottom down, he needs to get some new parts.
Okay. All right. I would say if I was going to put the mustache on scale, 20,000. Very stinky.
Very stinky.
You know he's in the room before you see him.
Yes.
He isn't sneaking up on anybody. you're just like, Jesus Christ, what's that smell? Nosferatu.
Smells really cheesy in here all of a sudden.
And then would I smash? You know what? Why not?
Oh. You'd take him. Despite not ever doing leg day.
Yeah,
he needs to do some squats. I'm sorry.
You know, as a member of the chicken leg club,
I feel like I could see his booty hole because he didn't have. That's how much of a butt he didn't have that you could just see the hole on the flat surface.
yeah. poor booty. All right, let's close out the movie list with one last movie that we still haven't watched that's also been recommended to us a million times.
Yeah.
And that is I Saw the TV Glow.
Yeah, it looks freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing story. Yeah. Amazing concept, but yeah. Have we picked it up yet? Nope.
I have purposefully, I literally have kept everything out. I don't know anything about it. And anything that I may have learned, I've already forgotten. Because it's a movie that I've been very, very excited for. And so,
expect a review this year.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's quickly go through some TV shows of note. The first one is Bruce Campbell's return to TV in the show Hysteria. Haven't finished the season, but it was really fun.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun show. Yeah. It's worth a check out, yep. I'd say.
It's another dive into nostalgia horror.
Yeah.
But dealing with satanic panic, which is always a good time.
And plus, come on, Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Like,
come on. You know you're going to have some fun. Even if the project's awful, you can always count on having a fun time with Bruce Campbell.
That's right. Another series that was fantastic and thank goodness got renewed for a second season was Creature Commandos.
Oh my God. Oh. What? I did not expect to cry so much about Creature Commandos. Of all of the DC properties, Creature Commandos was one I never thought I'd be crying over.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Yeah. If you've been sleeping on it, like, definitely wake up. Get to watching.
And you're going to be like, ew, Rick Flag. I hate Rick Flag. Guess what, though? You're going to like this one.
Yeah.
Because I was so surprised to finally be like, oh, I actually like this character.
Yeah, Rick Flag Sr.
Yeah.
You know, thumbs up to him. Yeah. Everybody was written very well. The voice acting cast is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Tudyk back at it again.
Oh, yeah. And his character is just so yummy.
Yes. So can't gush about that enough. Definitely check it out. A series that sadly has ended that I didn't, I never thought the day would come. I thought it was going to go on forever.
Yeah.
Or maybe trade out cast. You just trade out cast members?
Just come on. Go look at some other vampires.
That's right. Yeah. What We Do in the Shadows finally ended. Was the final episode perfect? No.
No,
was it a good final season? But there was a really good moment, and I think that they did a good. They cinched it up.
Yeah. Not my favorite final season of a show, but I can see why they did what they did, and I'm gonna miss these characters.
Yes.
I'm gonna miss them so much.
I'm gonna definitely be missing Colin. Who had, I think, like his overall run for this season, I think, was the best. I think he was featured the most and had like he kind of like I think since the season where he was little Colin Robinson growing up, I think has become the main, you know, it's how a lot of these shows happen, where it's the goofy side character becomes the main character.
Yeah, it's really weird how first season it feels like we barely saw Colin. He would just show up for like a punchline.
Yeah.
And then I guess he became a fan favorite or something over time because it just seemed like we were seeing him more and more.
Yeah.
And then, this final season, there was so much that they touched up on with that character.
Yeah, I think that it was an interesting shift because for the first chunk of that series, pretty much the show is told through the eyes of Guillermo.
Yeah.
And then
like Guillermo was like kind of brushed off to the side towards the end.
Yeah. Well, I think that they kind of killed his character arc.
You know,
they gave him everything he hoped for. And then he was like, nah. And then his character didn't make sense. Honestly, like, as much as I love Guillermo, I felt like his character didn't even need to be in the show.
Yeah, especially since they weren't going to have him and Nandor kiss. So
that's right.
I'm going to just spoil that for everybody, too, that they didn't kiss.
Yep. So moving on to a series that we had been talking about since we started the show.
Yes.
Being super excited about.
Yes.
And then didn't stick the landing.
Yeah. We gushed about it so much when the initial trailer came out, like almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then it finally came out this year. Uzumaki.
Yeah.
First episode. Brilliant, beautiful, exactly what we wanted.
Yes.
Second episode, things are getting a little weird here.
Yeah.
What's going on? Third episode.
What happened?
What? Huh?
Yeah.
Fourth episode, might as well have been a rubber band and a shoestring on the screen, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was, yeah. Thanks to you know, COVID and a lot of other production problems.
Yeah.
Uzumaki took 1,000 years to frickin' make, and then about halfway through producing it, they switched animation companies.
Yeah.
And you see it.
You see the exact moment when the quality drops. It's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because this is such a beautiful. Beautifully, like, it's an art piece.
Yeah.
Uzumaki in general is an art piece, and so it just felt like a slap to the face.
yeah, it was rough to sit through, and I'm concerned that it's going to ultimately hurt any future Junji projects.
I would still like to do a deep dive onto the Uzumaki show a little bit, so. We'll get around to that this year as well.
Yep. Last one I think I really want to talk about for the TV shows would be Parasite the Grey.
Yeah, now that's one I'm surprised I haven't at least picked up to watch.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a huge fan of the Parasite series
yes.
in general.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing the trailer and you were very excited.
Yeah, because it's a live action adaptation of, like, just the Parasite world. It's another story in that world. And I haven't watched it yet because I'm a big dum-dum, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
but
the special effects in it look phenomenal, too. Like, yeah.
And from what little I've heard, people seem to have enjoyed it. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'll get there eventually, guys.
Yeah, there we go.
And then James, 10 years from now, will eventually watch it.
And then be mad at myself for not watching it when it came out initially. Yep, that's how that goes. Speaking of things that I'll never get around to, let's move on real quick to video games. And Autumn, this is, I give the floor to you because this 2024 had an enormous release.
Yes.
Of a remake of a sequel to one of the arguably best survival horror franchises in video games.
I would say probably one of the best survival horror video games of all time, even.
Yeah, so
Silent Hill 2?
Yes.
Yes, I actually got to play this. I have not finished it, which is something because it is a totally brand new game.
Yeah.
This remake, I am so happy with, because I went in going, I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly where I need to go and what I need to do. Nope. They've changed it all up. I am getting surprised. I am actually getting scared at some moments.
Well, you started playing it with headphones.
Yeah. And there was a moment where I actually was like, ah, like let out a little scream. And just the environment is so much better. The monsters are so much meaner. And old James, he just...
Another sad James.
At first, I wasn't too keen on his face. But it definitely grew on me, especially because I got to see it so many times from saving.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if you have not picked up the Silent Hill 2 remake yet because you've been kind of like, ooh, I don't know. They've burned me in the past. Because I was like that.
Yeah.
I didn't have very much faith, but I'm glad that I picked it up. I'm glad that I'm playing it. And I can't wait to get good at it. So that it only takes me an hour and 15 minutes to finish this one.
Yeah, there you go. I've watched you play a little bit. And the game looks genuinely scary. And eventually I'm going to pick it up. I keep putting it back into the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Going, okay, I think today's the day, and then I play something else. because I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to be scared today. I just kind of want to zip through the next couple of games, mainly because of the fact we haven't played any of them.
Yeah.
But I think that they're worth a note. One I want to bitch about.
Yeah.
Because it's worth note, but I want to complain about the state of horror video games these
days. Yeah.
When it comes to movie property adaptations. And that is Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah.
I am so incredibly sick of the player versus player bullshit.
Why in the world could we not just have a game where we're getting to go around as one of the clowns? You get to pick a clown and go and have mischief.
Yeah.
Why do I have to play with other people?
Yeah, I am so tired of this. It's such a cheap way to do it. And, and my biggest complaint about this is, even let's say the game is good.
Mm-hmm.
Which all these games, I think, are clunky as hell. I think the controls are garbage for pretty much all of them. But let's say they actually have great controls. It's a fun game. This is the worst problem to have. Because inevitably, the studio or whomever is going to pull the plug on the servers.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only do you have a game that maybe you absolutely love, but now you don't get to play it ever again because they decide to kill the servers.
And you spend money on this game because if you want, like, the special Elvira thing.
Yeah. So they busted out Elvira and Tom Savini skins for it. Cool. However,
I love that.
Yeah. It's still, I'm like, no, I don't want, like, I was so hopeful for it, and I knew very early on that it was going to be a player versus player. I think I mentioned that in previous a little while back whenever it was still being previewed.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, let's just see how it goes. But everything I've seen for the gameplay for it, I was like, okay, well, this is like Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Or Evil Dead. Or throw a rock, you'll hit 15 of them. I don't want this. I don't want to play this game.
And as I said, I just don't want to play with other people.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of games being you have to play with other people.
If you're at least bring back bots.
Yeah.
Have bots in there. So then when they finally do kill the server,
people can still play.
You can still play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I don't like this aspect of the future. Thankfully, another studio has kind of broke the mold a little bit. And that is Retro Realms. Double feature Halloween and Ash versus Evil Dead. Look at that. It is possible to make a horror game based off of a property that's not just a player versus player. Instead, we're going to get what's becoming another tired thing, and that is the beat 'em up.
Yeah.
And I like, at least these games, I think people are making them really well. I haven't played these yet. I will probably eventually get them because they look really fun. They look like a good arcade beat 'em up shooter.
Yeah.
And if it's anything like Shredder's Revenge, then I'm pretty hopeful. And I think that a lot of people have cracked the code. One that's coming soon that I can't fucking wait for is Toxic Crusaders, that beat 'em up game. Like, that one I'm looking forward to. But yeah, like, I think that maybe Ash vs. Evil Dead, instead of it being a beat 'em up, if they would have made it into a Metroidvania game, that would have been a little bit more interesting.
Which is the third formula that we're getting out of video games these days. Why can't we just have a, you know, an original video game again?
Well,
no more remakes of retro games.
That's what I miss about the old Evil Dead games. I'm not going to talk about the most recent one because that's a player versus player bullshit game. But, you know, with the first Evil Dead video game, it was pretty much a rip of Resident Evil.
Yeah, which was fine.
It's fine. It told an interesting story. It took you across many lands to deal with shit, and Ash got into shenanigans. Fistful of Boomstick was really fun because it was just a arcade shooter pretty much, but had a great story, an interesting weapon leveling up system. It was cool.
Yeah.
And then Resurrection.
Yes.
You get to play some basketball. Sure.
Yes.
That game, not perfect at all.
See,
but was interesting.
These retro ones, they needed to have a little part where one of them played basketball.
There you go.
That's what I need in my video games, a basketball portion.
Yeah. Make it like NBA Jam.
Yeah.
Versus Deadites.
Yeah. And then put some Shaq Fu in there too for me.
Fuck it. Why not? there was a lot of other games that came out, but we're getting a little long in the episode, so let's go ahead and cinch it up. Let us know what came out in 2024, and this is for everything, movies, TV shows, video games, what have you. What was something that made your year in horror? for 2024. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to know what was your, like, this is the thing. This is what made 2024 worth experiencing.
Yes.
All right. So just to kind of cinch up the episode for a little bit more personal stuff, I suppose, is I would like to bring up the fact that we had reviewed the movie Eldritch USA a little while back.
Yeah.
A local film.
Yeah.
And they finally got their distribution figured out. And they, after, you know, taking a little while to get their stuff out for the mass market to see, it's out there.
Yeah.
So I was really happy to see that Eldritch USA, if you kids don't remember, or if you didn't listen to the episode, shame on you. It's a fantastic movie. But if you're a fan of stuff like Campbell Musical or that musical episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Once More with Feeling, this is it. Like, this, they do such a good job at capturing that feel.
Yeah. The songs are fantastic.
The songs
in
are
it.
Really fun. Everybody does a great job. It's a beautiful, like, it's a really good independent movie. So I highly recommend it. And you can actually find it in your local Barnes & Nobles. And it's also available to buy online, I think, on Amazon. Like, it's poking around. If you just Google search Eldritch USA, you're going to find it. So definitely check that out. Another indie film that was local that we've talked about in an episode, and I keep kind of bringing up, and that is Happy Halloween. That one isn't being distributed yet, but they finally finished their indie circuit.
Woo!
And holy mackerel, that they, like,
they
mean,
swept.
It was insane. Like, Brittany Greer, the director, recently posted about how, you know, they were done with all the film festivals, mm-hmm. but there was a screenshot of every single award.
Yeah. And they did great.
I can't keep track of all the freaking everything.
That,
like,
just goes to show how good that movie is, though.
Yeah. So whenever that one finally gets to be streaming, I'll be sure to share that. And hopefully get, or distribution as a whole, like, hopefully they get their movie out.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I feel like there must be people banging at the door.
They got to.
Everybody's got
to
be wanting to get their hands on this movie because of the fact it's a huge deal. So, you know, congratulations to Brittany and everybody attached to that movie. That was fantastic. Golly jeepers. Like, you know, I guess, like, Usual Suspects, you know, there's just every year I always kind of poke, you know, point out that we have a great horror community here in Springfield, Missouri area. Mm-hmm. So any chance you get to check out, you know, anything from Necroboth Theater, the Slice Girls, anytime that you're at an event and the Missouri Ghostbusters are there, you're going to have a good time. They're a great gaggle of ghouls. There's just a lot. I mean,
well, to kind of touch up on a couple of things that we talked about and got to do during our Halloween season this year, we very graciously got to visit Field of Screams this year, our first kind of promotional opportunity, or we got to check out, you know, the lay of the land and see what they got going on out there. And my God, what a fun time. Very interesting guy to talk to that owns Field of Screams.
Yeah.
And just an amazing story to hear that they, like, take it all down every single year because it's so just intricate and there's so many moving parts to it. So yet again, if you are in the Springfield Nixa area during the Halloween season, definitely check out Field of Screams.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you are going to have a scary good time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the other thing that we got to do during our Halloween season this year was we got to check out the play The Woman in Black.
Yes.
Put on by friend of the show, Nathan Shelton.
Yeah.
And I didn't know much about that play other than, you know, the Daniel Radcliffe movie based off of it. And if you ever get to see a production of that, I highly recommend it.
Oh, my gosh.
Just
yeah.
because of the whole story behind putting on that production.
Yeah.
And it's a small cast, a very cool story. Just seriously, if you ever get a chance, I wish that you could see this production of it.
This specific one was so freaking fun.
There was certain times where I legit had goosebumps during it because they put on such a good atmosphere and the acting was fantastic.
Yeah.
So again, kudos to Nathan Shelton.
Yeah.
And crew.
Yeah, and crew. There you go. And I also, speaking of Nathan Shelton, and I haven't really done too much promotional stuff for his other projects, and that is he's got himself a podcast as well called Frightmare Theater Podcast. I highly recommend checking it out. It's very entertaining. It's not quite what we do, it's more story driven, but it's very interesting. There's a cast of ghouls over there, so I think you should check out Frightmare Theater Podcast. Also, Nathan, busy man.
Yes, he is.
On the side, does sculpts for masks and busts and stuff like horror themed, which we had featured in our 2023 year in review. We have one of the busts, one of his pieces, which is fantastic. And yeah, very, very, very creative, very talented.
And such a nice man, too.
Incredibly nice.
Since we finally got to meet him.
Yes, we got to meet him in person. He was so sweet.
Yeah.
And I wish we could have had more time to talk, just because of the fact I would love to pick his brain. And I know that he feels mutually, he just wants to gush about horror with us as well. So at some point in time, we're going to have to finally, after 5 years of doing this damn show, actually have guests and actually talk to another human being. I swear this is going to happen because especially people like Nathan, Brittany, there's a lot of folks that I would love to get on here and just discuss what makes horror for them.
Yes.
And love enthusiasts like us. You know, I'm sure there's a million other things that we should be talking about, but golly, we're going into overtime onto the episode. And so just to close it out, you know, as always, I want to give a special thanks to everybody that sticks with us. And, you know, we would never have hit our fifth season without the loving support of our ghouls that keep on reaching out to us over on social media or in person sometimes. And it you guys remind us that, you know, we're not just two goofballs talking in a booth to each other, that we keep company, very good company with our listeners as well. And you know, I want to thank you for all the support. And yeah, you know, we definitely, to address the zombie elephant in the room, as far as production stuff goes, you know, we've gotten a little, you know, off with a regular posts and whatnot and stuff, but good grief, it was a busy, we had a lot of stuff cooking past few months. And so hopefully that we can get back on track and stay regular, because we have a lot, like I mentioned before in the Halloween Hangover episode, we have a lot of huge ideas. We have some extra folks that have been helping with the show in a lot of different ways that I want to continue to develop to move on, not just expanding our project, but also maybe uplift some other future side projects as well. So there's a lot of ideas floating around. It's just execution, and golly, I got slippy fingies, so sometimes that my execution axe slips out of my hands. So I've got better gripping gloves, so I should be able to bring it down swiftly. And at some point in time, and I need to go ahead and apologize in advance, at some point in time, you may start hearing ads in our episodes.
Yes.
Like 15-second ads. This is through the distribution company that we've been utilizing since I moved away from using Internet Archive. I know no one cares about this, but but I just want to, like, we've never been behind a paywall. I don't intend us to ever be behind a paywall. Mm-mm. For the main show, at least. But it would be nice to make a little bit of revenue, even if it's 25 cents a year. eventually, I'll be able to buy a candy bar.
Exactly.
And so, yeah. So expect at some point in time, you know, in the next couple of months, ads to start showing up. And if you hate that, I'm sorry. But it's kind of an industry standard these days. So what are we going to do?
Maybe someday we'll be able to read the ads ourselves, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to, is actually reading ad copy and making it spooky. So there's that. That brings us to the end. This episode of Podcast Magoria. our next episode, getting back into the swing of things and doing some deep dives, a subject that we have hinted towards for a couple of years now and have had quite a few people bring up to us. And it's been this kind of looming darkness in the background. And that is, we're going to finally tackle the subject of found footage movies.
Ooh, that is going to be a deep, deep dive.
Yes, it's going to be a lot of work. I can't wait. But my opinion, actually, since starting the show, has kind of shifted a little bit towards found footage. Because we have covered a few found footage movies.
We've covered
now.
A lot.
So we'll see how that's evolved. And then you know, back to the good old formula is discussion episode, review episode. So what... who knows what found footage movie we'll talk about after the next episode. You'll have to tune in to find out next time. Until next time, if you find yourself and your head is spinning from all the stuff that you've experienced last year, or maybe it was too much stuff and you didn't get around to it. I don't know anything about that. just stay calm. Make a list of all the things you'd like to check out. Hey, the year has just started. And there's even more stuff to pile on that list. Ah! So as you try to get your hands around this ever-growing beast of horror, do one important thing, and that is you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Megoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.
Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh